gentlemen, and welcome to today's press conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publication of the financial figures in the first quarter 2016. For your information, this press conference will be taped, and I'll hand over to Thomas Atkins now. Yeah, good morning and welcome from my side, and as always, on the first quarter, our CFO, Dieter Wemmer, will guide you through the figures, and afterwards we have time for your questions, and we have time till approximately 8:45 for your questions. Mr. Wemmer, the floor is yours. Thank you, and also good morning from my side. As we don't have that much time this morning, I will not guide you through the whole presentation, but I would just, but I would like to give you enough space and time for your questions, and will therefore refrain to some of the most important points. I hope that you've had the opportunity to download the presentation from the internet, or at least to open it on your screens. The first page of the presentation shows the quarterly figures in relation to our ambitions of our heritage and renewal agenda until the year 2018. And it's obvious that with the high net income of the first quarter of almost 2.2 billion euros, which was also the reason for an ad hoc statement last week, because we were 40% above the average analyst estimate of 1.5 billion for the quarter. So with this figure, the earnings per share growth, of course, starts very high on a quarterly basis, but I would rather see it as a good start so that over 12 quarters until 2018 we'll come to the average of 5%. So it's not that we want to have any upwards correction here. Based on this, of course, the return on equity for the group had a good start, the combined ratio of 93.3% in the first quarter. I will talk more about the background to this in a few minutes, but it's below our target margin, our target figure of 94%. Now, new business in life health with 52% new business margin. We're not on our 2.5% new business margin. We're not on the 3%, but we're 1 percentage point up compared to the previous year. So all in all, it was a real good start to the year. And I would like to switch now to page 5 and give you more details to explain the quarterly figures in more detail to you. So with 2.75 billion, 100 million less in operating profit, that's right on page 4. Is this good or bad? Well, I have to say that I'm really satisfied with the start to the year. So from our P&C business, we had plus 155 million. That was due to the fact that we had a very low number of Nat Cat damages. We had 20 million euros in Nat Cat claims, which is far below what we usually expect for a quarter in so far. The plus was driven by the low number of Nat Cat claims. The minus in life health, from my point of view, is not a negative sign. It's not a true minus. We have a significantly reduced number of realized price gains compared to the previous year, where we switched fixed income portfolios in the first months of the year 2015 due to the drop in interest rates to be able to manage our solvency risks. And we did much less of that over the course of this year. So the underlying figures in life health haven't worsened at all. And also in the life health segment in the first quarter, we had 82 million impairments, operative impairments, again for Korea that were recognized. So taking off these one-off effects, the life business is rather slightly higher compared to the previous year, which shows that in spite of the difficult market environment, our mix in life health and our management and life's health will lead to a sustainable positioning, sustainable positive positioning. Asset management, well, after continuous quarters of outflows in assets under management, the number has come down now. That is also due to the fact that in our mix, we've lost a little more in fees, so the fees per assets under management are a little lower than the previous year because the outflows were more in this area than in the institutional area, and also the dollar exchange rate, the dollar has weakened a bit, so insofar we didn't get any support from the dollar this quarter, but the dollar rather played against us. The corporate segment, which includes the holding and all the other elements, has remained on par with the previous year. So overall, I would see that the operating profit is on the previous year's level. Now, total revenues, yes, minus 6.4% compared to the previous year, 1 percentage point due to exchange rate losses, so that we have to take a minus 5% in volume that we need to handle. And if we look at the underlying segments, you can see that the property and casualty segment shows an internal growth of 2.7%, 1% from positive price changes, and 1.7% from volume growth, and the 3% of underlying long-term growth, that is our strategic goal. That is to say that this segment is absolutely on course when it comes to growth. When we look at life health, here we've basically also reached what we wanted to reach, because we want to significantly reduce the traditional business with long-term guarantees, and there will certainly be questions from your side on this point, and we can then go more into detail, and we are still very positively growing in the business we like to underwrite these days. We have great increases in revenues in Germany in this area. In the United States, we've had a truly strong quarter with good new business margins, and in so far, we are truly satisfied with the development in life health, and I'd say it's really very good what we currently see. So for me, it's graded with an A what we see there in life health. Asset management, as I mentioned before, revenues almost double digit figures, which stems from the decline I just mentioned. So how do we come up with the large net income of 2.2 billion? Well, on the one hand side, that's the very good operating result on the previous year level. And then we had some additional effects from realized gains, share price gains from the corporate segment. A large part of these purchases were taken last year when the stock exchanges were much more positive. It was for forward sales. That is to say that those will only be recognized, the sale will only be recognized once the purchaser has paid the price. And that was the payment deadlines were in the first quarter of 2016. And of course that helps to improve solvency if you sell stocks that are when the price is high and don't wait too long. So that was a good start. And what was also true for these stock packages was that the purchases were tax exempt, so that in the first quarter you can see our tax ratio was only 24%, which doesn't mean that Allianz now starts to have any creative tax models to reduce taxes significantly, but that's the usual difference between the taxation of operating profit and price gains from stocks. And then I would also like to talk 2 minutes or so about our shareholders' equity and the solvency capitalization, which is on slide five. We have a lot of interesting information following that, but I think it's self-explanatory if you read through this. So I don't want to repeat what's mentioned there, but just explain in my own words how the situation has developed. So when it comes to shareholder equity, with 67 billion euros, we've reached a new record value, if you wish, which is great, of course. And especially the unrealized gains and gains on long-term high-quality investments have risen significantly, which is due to the decrease in interest rates, which I hadn't mentioned so far. In the first quarter, we saw a reduction of interest rates in the Eurozone of around 50 basis points. That is to say, the most important reference interest rate for us is the Euro swap curve, and the 10-year swap interest rate on the 1st of January was at around 1%, and this dropped till the 1st of April to 0.5%, so these are rounded figures, but it describes the effect that we've seen so far. So you could say that in Europe the interest rates halved from a value that was initially already very low. So for someone who's in the business of long-term interest rates, that certainly is a challenge. If you look at the Bund, so the German federal government's reference papers, I think up to 9 years we have an interest rate of 0% or below. That is to see that we're saying that we're in the area of negative interest rates, and that is something you need to handle and manage. And I believe that we're on a very good track when it comes to this. You can see it on these figures. The increase in shareholders' equity, the dropping interest rates always look good. But if you then, on the other hand, look at Solvency II, where the overall effect of dropping interest rates on the overall balance sheet of a life insurance company is being modeled, you wouldn't see that much difference in the P&C business, but here this is modeled on the life health business above all, and here you can see that there are effects to this. So even if we still have these guarantees and obligations from classical life insurance, which are so long that you cannot find or buy the fitting investments, and that is reflected then in the Solvency II ratio. So that the ratio drops with falling interest rates, and we've lost 11 percentage points above all due to the interest rate decline, which is not that much actually, because if you look at the sensitivities we had at year end for 50 basis points and falling stock market, what we published then, we should have dropped significantly more, but through many activities and risk management activities, we've countered this trend. But I have to tell you also that the movement of the Solvency II ratio, especially if you compare this to our competitors, that is always difficult to interpret and to compare. In the first quarter, we didn't have any new equity papers or hybrid equity-like papers, and we always recognize for every quarter the dividend, the assumed dividend from the solvency ratio is being taken out. So we save every quarter for the dividend that we then, supervisory board and AGM will agree, will pay at the end of the financial year. And these are always 50% of net income generated. So for a solvency ratio, that amounts to 3 percentage points. Other competitors collect them quarter by quarter and then recognize them once at year end. So the movements are therefore different between the competitors over the course of the year. So that was my short introduction and with the summary that we are convinced thanks to the start of the year that we can stick to our guidance of 10.5 plus minus half a billion, that we're well on track to reach that, and we also hope that we can give further positive surprises as we been able to do with the first quarter. So that with this, I would like to open the question and answer session. Okay, then I'll just let you know how to ask your question. Yeah, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press star and the number one key on your phone. Please make sure that you've deactivated the mute button so that your signal can reach our devices. If you've realized that your question has already been answered, you can withdraw it by pressing star 2. So once again, please press star 1 to ask a question today. We'll now have the first question of Michael Fleming of Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Wemmer, Mr. Atkins. Three questions, short ones. First of all, you mentioned life insurance and said that you would give it an A rating, 6% minus in contributions. Is that a line you see for the remainder of the year? So will the change of portfolio reduce premiums further? Then second question, you mentioned Korea. Do you expect any further burdens from Korea? And what do you expect from Taiwan? And do you see any other business where you have to expect financial burdens? And then the third question, you had unusually high realized gains. You said that those were business from the last year. And do you have any other business that might have an effect then on the third or fourth quarter? Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Fleming. Highly interesting questions as always, and I'm looking forward to answering them. So in life insurance, we want to switch back to a growth course, certainly in the future. But against the current backdrop, it's not about getting the highest volume in the next quarter, but to make sure that we have the highest volume over the long term in a few years' time. And I think the strength that we have, the balance sheet strength that we have, needs to be utilized over the midterm and not for the largest volume in the next quarter. That is why I believe that we're right on track to reach these midterm goals. Then Korea, once the transaction has been finalized, which might maybe in the second or third quarter, that depends on the time frame for the regulators' checks, and once we get their approval, we then expect 350 million approximately of an overall inflow and onto our net income. Then we published yesterday, Taiwan is another important and great step towards our life strategy. So that will also alleviate and take a burden of our solvency, because there we sold just the traditional portfolio and not the whole company. So for more than 5 years in Taiwan, we've had a very successful unit-linked life insurance business, some risk business, and new business in Taiwan is doing great overall. And over the last years, we've reached very high volumes there, and this part hasn't been affected at all by the transaction. So it's just about the sale of a closed book of old reserves, which still have a remaining term of 27 years on average, and this is the part that we've sold. And of course, there will also be a small burden on our result, but it's not worth commenting on this in detail. The third question, the realized gains, the surprise gains. We don't have any material forward sales outstanding, which would be realized in the third or fourth quarter. But for me, it's also a good point to point out that through the high volatility of stock markets in the first quarter, we don't have any high potential for write-offs that's been built up under the impairment rules under IFRS are somewhat complicated. You need to write off once a stock drops 20% below the purchase price, or if it remains underwater for 6 months continuous, or 9 months rather, continuously, and insofar following the bad first quarter on the stock market, you might consider whether we have some huge impairment potential that's come up through this, but I don't see any major amounts coming towards us. May I ask one follow-up question? Yes. So Korea, is that part of the operating result or non-operating result? That's non-operating result, what I mentioned, but it's the sale of a share package, and unfortunately it's also tax exempt. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wimmer. Okay, then we'll come to our second question by Alexander Hübner, Thomson Reuters. Hello? Yes, hello? Yeah, this is Alexander Hübner. I hadn't understood the name because there was a beep in the line. But I have two questions. One adds up to the topic of Korea and Taiwan. We ask ourselves what else you still have in the pipeline, or which is still what you still want to sell. So there have been some reports that you also want to sell some closed books in Italy, and maybe you could tell us something about that. And the second point, PIMCO, I ask myself, well, whether the outlook you've given us for the second half of the year, is this rather a wish or an expectation or a request to PIMCO that they come to the point of turnaround? Okay, let me start with the life insurance companies and the sales here. We've put ourselves the goal that every one of our actively run health companies will need to reach an ROE of 10%. That is the goal we have. And for this, we founded a life task force which discusses in detail with every life unit around the world how they can reach the 10%. For Korea was so far away from that point that the only solution was an exit from Korea. For Taiwan, the solution was what we see there is they have the 10% clearly on the new business that they've sold for the last 5 years now, but not on the old business, and that's why we sold the old business. And with the larger European units, which are below 10, we've established very detailed operating plans on how to reach the 10% ROE, and I will never comment in any way any future sales, but I'll only talk about businesses that have been closed and whether we need any sales in one or the other case, large or small, remains to be seen, but for us it's clear in the year 2018, on the first page of my presentation, we have the strategic charts with the key figures for the renewal agenda. In the year 2018, we want to see that 100% of the life health OEs have reached an ROE of at least 10%. That is the objective. And now PIMCO, request to the management, yes, certainly, but also a realistic expectation from our side. PIMCO has gone through a phase of changes, and we have to say that the Bill Roth topic has really been finalized, even though from time to time that still comes up in the newspapers due to his legal escapades. This doesn't have anything to do with the business. We're pretty much on par with the other competitors who are present in the active managed fixed income business. So that is a business which is in a position of turnaround due to the interest rate environment, and PIMCO needs to face this change. And in fact, the PIMCO management is good enough to do exactly that. So far, they've been a leading company in the fixed income area. So why should there be any change, or why shouldn't it remain this way in the future? And if we take a closer look onto the individual weeks and months, we can clearly see that the image has brightened up quite a bit. It's not that we just, and we see continuous outflows day by day, but in the first quarter, in the month of February, for example, we had a positive month, and that shows that we're on the right track, and so I think my answer was already too long. No, sorry about the background noise. I didn't know that I hadn't muted my phone. Sorry about that. Okay, but I believe that PIMCO will also bring us a lot of joy over the midterm again. Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Herbert von der from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Please. Yes, good morning. I'd like to know why in Italy the decline in revenues in P&C can be seen in Allianz Worldwide Partners, -4.2%. What happened? UK as well? And one more sentence about the Brexit and your position about that. So first of all, I'd like to know why decline in Italy, and also in regards of the profit, 92%, and also one word about Brexit. Italy, the decline in revenues is due to the motor business. Italian motor lost volume in the entire market. And I haven't seen the first quarterly figures in the market yet, but I believe we were able to maintain our market share, probably even expanded it slightly. That's why the decline in Italy is more because of a consequence of the good combined ratios and where the peers give back to the customer. That's why the combined ratio slightly declined without more claims coming in. That's good. In AWP, we've seen a decline in health insurance, which is the main share attributable to the decline in volumes. And this is a combined ratio that might be an interesting anecdote. The Zika virus has substantially influenced our combined ratio and travel insurance. We had a lot of cancellations in the trips, and that's why this had a stronger influence on the combined ratio. How much was that? In ACA, that was only also 1 point, which I find is quite remarkable for such a small animal. Because I have a worldwide business in UK, we actively withdraw from direct motor business, which we just communicated in recent weeks that by 1st of July, direct motor business will be discontinued. which is the explanation for the decline in UK. Brexit. I can only confirm what they say, and those who are much more competent to say more about that. I think this is going to be an interesting and decision, and I think we will have to wait until that particular day to wait and see whether UK will stay within the EU or not. As an insurer, nothing really changes. We have a completely independent legal entity in the country doing our business with that vehicle. And in the mid-run, in asset management, if this Brexit materializes, we will have to see how certain mutual funds, which are domiciled in England and which are currently done by the European Freedom of Service Act, under that act, and we have to see how to go on with that and under which legal system these funds will be continued. For the asset management industry, this will be rather complicated, but I don't think this will be difficult for our business. We would like to see UK staying within the EU, but I don't want to bet on that result. Mr. Frommer, did that cover all your questions? I didn't get why the business of direct business as of July in the first quarter explains that decline in UK, because we started to reduce new business and renewals by price adjustments. Sorry, I did not really explain that. Thank you. Our next question comes from Madeleine Nissen from Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones. Yes, good morning. Let me start with my simplest question. Career Life, 340 million. You said before that it will have a burden on the net result, and I understood that this is the pre-tax result that is under a burden. Maybe you can say more about that then. And you said that you're quite confident with PIMCO to the second half of the year. Without quantifying that, probably you could give us figures, and maybe you can add more substance to your statements. And the pension funds, I went to BaFin's annual press conference. Mr. Grund was rather careful in making statements about pension funds, and that they said that they're even more under stress from this low interest rate. It's the interest scenario, because you're also in that business. How do you assess that feeling? I don't know whether that figure has been published. How much do Salience pay into Protector? Maybe you can help me. And finally, just for my own understanding, life insurance, what is your current situation? How much guaranteed interest do customers get from you when they conclude a life insurance? That's an entire program. I think if we've covered that, then we have used the time completely. I'm going to talk quite quickly. Career Life, 350 million impact on the net income. Since this is a tax-free loss, then the influence on the pre-tax and the after-tax result is the same. 350 million that go through the entire accounting. PIMCO, I don't want to give any further details, because I believe we've always been careful with what we make as a forecast for the future to give, because we want to always come up with a positive surprise, and instead of giving announcements, instead of promises, because you can't be positively, you can't give positive surprises apart from the inflows. So based on the status of the previous year, this is actually a good trend. Further to the pension funds and the low interest scenario, So the pension funds are subject to, so the free pension funds are not subject to Solvency II. That means, so not the same caution obligation has been provided by the BaFin. So that means that the long-term obligations that also contain guaranteed interest should also be backed by long-term interest, long-term assets with the same interest. So that's why with all these debates around pension funds, and you're doing fine with an Allianz Life, because we will be able to render these obligations all the way to the expiry of the policies plus surplus contribution. So what is our current guaranteed interest with the classic insurance programs that we're still selling? But I can, it is 1.25%, that's the German statutory interest rate, that is the maximum guaranteed interest that all peers use. If you look at our new products, then actually we only offer a contribution guarantee, but since these policies are lying in the general pool of all our interests generated, all policies, whether they have a guarantee of 3% or 1% or 0%, they are all participating into the same return pool. So we're producing more than slightly above 4% interest income, and 4% will be a benefit for everyone with a high guarantee. They get this as a guarantee, credited as a guarantee, and the others will be credited as profit share. That's why with a low interest guarantee, then when you have nothing really changes in the interest rate. Let me probe on that system. To what extent are change risks a topic for you? In the interest change risk is exactly to that what Solvency II uses. If the solvency ratio goes down by declining interest rates, that's exactly the benchmark for the change risk of the interest. And Allianz Life has a much higher solvency ratio than the group, and that is why we're well positioned for that. And for Protector, since the market shares, I think that was 10 or 15 years ago, the market shares back then were taken for in payments into Protector. If the Protector case should ever materialize, that means Allianz should be around 17%. That used to be our market share back then. And that does not increase, or would you expect that it will increase? Because also the risks obviously increase by this low interest environment, that you have to pay in more. No. The 17% relate to a company coming under stress, and it is being declared a Protector case. Let's assume the company needs a capital shot of 50 million euros. Then we should add 17% as Allianz, but currently the Protector has been fully paid in. That means there's enough funds in order to cover the first few small cases without anyone having to pay. I think we have one final question. Our last question today comes from Jonathan Gould from Reuters. Yes, hello. Jonathan Gould. Just a short question. The capital, Brexit and the capital asset side. I just wanted to know whether you have any hedges that you've made available and prepared for your assessment in Great Britain or Europe in preparation for any possible Brexit? We're holding, we're keeping our obligations, and the investments are currency matched. So we made sure that we don't have any open items against the pound, so that we only have matching. Apart from that, I'd say you can't be prepared really, because if it's 50-50 as an outcome, then it's just a bet for which side you want to get prepared. It's like throwing a coin. And that is why we have not planned any further activities in our investment portfolio. Thank you. All right. I wish everyone a nice day. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking part, ladies and gentlemen, and have a good day. This is the end of our today's conference. We thank you for participation and wish you a pleasant day.